Bobby Fox coming down from Gwinnett County. And Bobby, I like to think of him as the closer. If you don't get this deal after Bobby talks, you're not going to get it, I guess. But I'm telling you, this man knows the program. So y'all please welcome Bobby Fox.
Wow. Thank you very much for that warm welcome. I am Bobby. And hey, bud. And I'm an alcoholic. Hey, y'all. I ain't had a drink of liquor in a few 24 hours. But I do believe that I have a disease that's called alcoholism. And, you know, and Tim asked me would I come over here and share my experience, strength, and hope. I immediately, you know, said I would. And he's been very, very kind and generous with coordinating just time. Because I feel blessed that I'm here tonight. And, you know, I love Alcoholics Anonymous, bottom line. This is where someone who reached a point in his life that I felt, and I say this a lot, but it was the truth. I felt like I had really lost at the game of life. And I felt like I had about as much use as a screen door on a submarine. There just wasn't much for me to look forward to anymore. Because I wouldn't listen when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I'm going to disclose in a general way what I used to be like, you know, what happened to me, and what I'm like today. And, you know, what I'm like today is a direct result of what this 12-step program of recovery will give those of us who freely get open-minded and willing to get rigorously honest with yourself. And it takes, it usually takes for people like us an awakening, you know. Because, I mean, honestly, I was born into a family of alcoholics. Bottom line. I mean, I had a good childhood. It was full of a lot of violence, full of broken promises. Introduced my first drink of liquor from my parents when I was 9 years old. My mom and my stepdad, we lived here in Atlanta. And I still remember that. And I never had any skills of going within to heal relevant to all the disaster my life was with loving to drink liquor. Because I had a solution, you know, and I didn't drink just one drink at 9 years old. When they offered me a shot of tequila, it was very shortly thereafter that I wanted another. And so I embarked upon a life of having a way to cope. That was my coper. I didn't know any other way, you know. And I progressed. And of course, I can always remember in my mindset that I never wanted to be like my real dad. You know, I never wanted to be like him. So basically, my mother remarried, and like any good drunk, she married another drunk. And I was able to sustain the hurts and the pains of a lost little boy in the big city of Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, it still rings clear to me. I was riding my bicycle down in downtown Atlanta. I used to be a terror. I was a terror. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You couldn't tell me nothing. And it was down near some of us are residents of Georgia, Atlanta, and we remember when the old mission home used to be down there. I believe it was off Houston Street. And a couple of people would tell me, they said, son, you don't need to go down that way. There's alcoholics down there. You know, tell a 10-year-old boy where not to go on his bicycle. And I still vividly remember the imprinted image of the horror and the sadness that so many alcoholics pursue this to, if you want to call it chronic alcoholism, so be it. They haven't been blessed with the offering of this program, Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a way that we live, a way that we cope, and a way that we find a God of our understanding that we can be comfortable with. And, you know, along the journey through a teenager and accreditation in schools, and I was a hippie jock. I don't know if any of y'all can relate with a hippie jock, but I was a hippie jock. Never could get honest with myself about my drinking. And of course there were other substances involved. And you know, I had a, what we talk about in you know, we're having this spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, or spiritual experience. And, you know, when I do these talks, when I share my experience, strength, and hope today, and I correlate it with the way I used to be and what happened and what I'm like today, sometimes my thought process has to slow down such that I can be rigorously honest in where I came from. You know, where I came from. Because, yeah, I blew scholarships. In and out of jails. In and out of damn nut houses. But I never could get honest with myself. Because I always had loving enablers. And I've said this before, and I still, even though sometimes my memory has got vivid recollections of some of my derelict behavior, I still to this day do not know how many DUIs I ever got. Because the solution for coping with me is my mom and my stepdad was just buy me out of it, you know. And they bought me out of a lot of disastrous moments that were only keeping me going. And I kept going. And I kept going. And I don't know, I was wide open in reverse. And, you know, Dale Wilson tells us that there's a fundamental idea of God instilled in all of us. I believe that. I had that fundamental idea of God when I was a drunk. Bottom line, I was a drunk. I never felt like I sustained any feelings that were awkward with drinking. And I didn't know another way to live. And, you know, I was able to reach a point that I got mad at God real mad at God. December the 1st, 1971. Because, see, God of my understanding all my life was Monty Hall. I don't know if any of y'all remember Monty Hall or not, but I always cut a deal. And I mean, I cut some deals. I just never could follow through on any of it. And I hope and I pray that what I'm sharing here is able to come together within the true essence of the recovery of what AA has given me. That in that incident, a tree, big tree, fell out of a churchyard. And I was going down North Stratford Road over here in Buckhead. And it squished my 1959 Volkswagen and damn near killed me. And I loved to drink liquor, and I was doing a lot of other substances. And I can still remember laying at Crawford Long Hospital and hearing people tell me, well, the insurance company is not going to pay for your Volkswagen, Bobby, because it was an act of God. And, oh, Jesus, Lord, did that piss me off. That really upset me. But what that did, and then I didn't know. See, as I carried around these resentments my whole life, I carried them around my entire life. And I went on, got out of the hospital, and managed to get through colleges and get me 2 degrees and then a business degree from down here at Georgia State. And at the time, my real dad was dying of this disease. And believe it or not, I did practice, you know, abstinence while I was in college. I walked around dealing hash and doing a lot of other things to support my college education. But I didn't want to be a real alcoholic like my father. And so I took a sabbatical on drinking for a few years. And nevertheless, I wasn't feeling life. And then I got into the corporate arena when I came out of college, and first job I was offered, I went to work for General Electric, and I traveled, and it fit in with drinking. And I left there, and I went with another corporation, and it fit in with drinking. Business luncheons just seemed to go a lot better with a drink, you know. And of course, not knowing that phenomenon of craving that was within me, I had to start being a lot discreet and a lot secretive about my drinking, because I couldn't get honest about it. I couldn't get honest. I just could not look at, I had this alcoholism, you know, because of imprinted images. That as a little boy, I saw these elderly gentlemen lying within their vomit and their bottles broken beside them. And so I drank liquor. I love to drink liquor. And, I grew through corporations and I excelled, and intellect was great. But there wasn't anyone truly within this fleshly shell. I was a freaking robot. I couldn't do anything without my Doer's Light label scotch. Bottom line. And I didn't want to be a real drunk. So I had to do another substance. And, you know, I lived that way for a long, long time. I made ashes out of myself a lot of times. I conquered great mountains in the corporate world. I mean, I still remember being written up in a worldwide magazine, and the only thing I thought about was the next mountain to be climbed. I couldn't take enjoyment out of success or satisfaction. Never had that ability. And this was the way I led my life. Love to drink liquor. Well, along the journey, my stepdad passed away. He died of this disease. And all these DUIs quit getting took care of. They didn't go away. And you know, when I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous in 1984, they told me, and some of y'all may remember, a guy named Joe Hubbard over at Peachford, one of the many asylums I've been in. He said, "Son, if you've gone over the demarcation line into active alcoholism, this motorboat syndrome mouth you got is going to come to pass, and you're going to lose everything that you cherish, that you hold dear, that you hold dear to your heart." And you know, I heard that, but I didn't do what anything that we suggest here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah, I got numbers of men. Did I have a problem? No. I was within the Peachford environment because of corporate stress. Could not look at the fact that a half a gallon of Dewar's White Label Scotch every other day and an ounce of cocaine is, there's a problem. There's a problem there. But so I couldn't get honest with myself. And I came out of there, and I remember that. I remember where and how and what happened when I succumbed to that next drink, as so many of us do, if we do not come to the realization that this higher power must be developed. We must nourish it. And Hilton Head, South Carolina, I improved upon my story greatly. I crawled back into the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. My sobriety date is May the 4th, 1987. And when I came back, I was shaking like a kitten shaking razor blades. That's the bottom line. I had lost the game of life. What I was told in 1984 came to pass. I went from a well knowledgeable, intellectual, groomed corporate executive to pulling time in the state penitentiary because I loved to drink and I loved to drive. And the state of Georgia does not agree with the chemical formula that I had come up with. They don't agree with it. Whether you can say your ABCs backwards, it does not matter. When you blow up their little things and it registers .51, you're drunk, according to the state of Georgia, regardless of how much of a substance you got in you. So, Matt got a hold of one of my DUIs. I managed to get 4 in 4 months. They counted. That I know I vividly remember because it came out of my pocketbook and they weren't swept under the table. And, you know, they gave me some time and I had time to really entertain quietness. Because things slow down when you're inside. You have a chance to reflect. I reflected upon being told the truth, that it's going to get worse, son, if you keep drinking. It's going to get worse. And I also had plenty of time to embark on my first sphere of sobriety, and I was worried about being a homecoming queen instead of Joaquin. So that helped me. That helped me connect with my innermost self. It helped me connect with this God of my understanding to where I had to honestly submit openness to Him, that I used Him all my life. I never followed through. I never even so much as said thank you when I'd get out of the jail. Because I was too busy blaming my Western boots, or blaming the policeman, or blaming the BMW. I was always in blame. A form of resentment, anger within. And it takes what it takes. And that's what it took for me. So when I crawled back into the door of AA, shaking like a kitten, I was tough love. I was tough love. And I thank God for that. I said, I got a hell of a forgiver. In one of my last big shindigs, I had managed to buy three companies, two of which went bankrupt, and the other one was over $100,000 in the red when I came back in AA. I came out of the judicial system with no driver's license. And I was blessed with some elder spokesmen in AA who took me under their wing, and they remembered me, too. They remembered me. I had a nickname for a while, the two brain cell. There's yet. I still remember being told, son, you've got back here and you got two brain cells left, and one of them's an echo. And, you know, that was a hell of a note to tell damn general manager of the universe. You know, don't y'all know who I am? You damn right they knew who I was. You know, I'm drunk. I'm an alcoholic. Don't know how to live life, clean and sober. And they gave me a pretty rigid schedule to start following. Once I asked that Bible question, you know, what I have to do to learn how to live life clean and sober. Well, first of all, idiot. You don't drink no liquor today. If you think about drinking liquor, you pick the phone up and you call me. And for you, if you even think about thinking, you call me. And, you know, I'm a firm believer, you can't unring a bell. You cannot unring a bell. And these men had the tenacity to stay on me, to help me learn how to be rigorously honest with myself. I mean, it's obvious I have trouble being honest with other people. I mean, I never could count. I always told the policeman, you know, how much you had to drink tonight? Oh, a couple. Didn't say anything about a couple, of course. See? And as I started feeling better, see, we clean up. We clean up real good. But this thing up here is a lethal weapon relevant to my life. And I still remember when I knew the rodeo was over. It was somewhere between the urine and the pregnant chip, the green chip, the yellow chip. We always call them urine chip. You get a 6-month chip, you're in the right place. You got a green chip, you're pregnant with sobriety. And I asked a gentleman over at Skyline one night, I said, just how many of these damned LAA meetings have I got to go to? And he didn't miss a beat. like he always did. And he said, idiot, for somebody like you, every day it ends in a Y. I had to think about that. You know. Because this disease that I have is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And just because you get the liquor and the substances out of me, my ego wants to take back over. I spent a long, long time being a general manager of the universe, like a lot of us in AA. And, of course, hell, I hurt my feelings. You know? And then I got to do this for every day, and then why? And then I got into the why not syndrome stage. Why, you know, why this, why that. Poor old me. I've lost my driver's license. I can't do this. You know, no. And I was helped with that rigorous honesty about my driver's license. We had a table over at Skyland, and I'm probably sure they do. I haven't been over there in a few 24 hours. But this man had heard all he wanted to hear about my lost driver's license. And he slammed his hand down on that table. No one can get it. He said, Body, we have heard all we want to hear about your blankety blank 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 driver's license. They are not laws. The state of Georgia has them. And I'm like, okay, there's continuity here. I'm not even being honest about my damn driver's license. So am I going to really get with this rigorous honesty? Rarely have we seen a person fail who thoroughly follows our path. Those who cannot or will not. Am I going to be a will not or a cannot? Can I not honestly look at this? They want the hospital. State of Georgia had them. They took them. Why did they take them? I had a bunch of DUIs. But I can see that. Because of the posse dust. I lived my whole life in a posse dust lifestyle. When things would start to ease up, the stressors would kind of go away. That's coming up. You know? I try and cope in life. Well, I could. I had no damn clue. So I had to get willing to do what was suggested. Go to these damned old AA meetings. Every day it ends in life. Go to step meetings. Go to speaker meetings. Go to big book study meetings. You know? Go to closed discussion meetings. Go to open discussion meetings. Get a sponsor. For me, I was told I was a joint venture. And the difference when I came back in was I started doing some of these suggestions. Even though I still wanted to have my opinion. But that was quickly smashed. And that's where we help each other. We help each other to get clarity and continuity on that vital part within of rigorous honesty. That we can concede to our innermost selves. And, you know, I had to admit to God that I used you all my life. And you were always there. I just never followed through. And I never followed through because I got this alcoholism. And AA gives me a way out from under that way of life. If I'm willing to get open-minded and willing to stay rigorously honest with myself. Not only with y'all, but with God. And that's a new frontier for someone like me to explore. And I can't emphasize enough the importance of home groups to where people recognize your days of how you're doing. When they're able to recognize that you're in turmoil or you're frustrated or your cover's kaput, but they're able to help you separate out the apple butter and the bullshit that's going on in between your ears, such that you don't take inappropriate action. And, you know, I personally, a lot of times, have to get me out of the way such that not only what AA has given me, it can come out and it can flow, and maybe, just maybe, someone else can learn how to live life clean and sober and have a bountiful life. Sure, there's going to be turbulent times ahead when you're coming off a liquor. You know? Our mission and our goal is we raise the bottoms such that you don't have to go to the depths of hell that I did to get rigorously honest. I mean, you know, I was pretty low. Lost a career. Lost a corporation. You know, lost a spouse and cheerleader. Wife. When I got back here, I was pretty naked. Yeah, I had a company that I still owned. It was $100,000 in the red. And I slept in the back of the shop for the first couple of years. But my loving support in AA started giving me strength. It started giving me hope that I wasn't a loser. That I didn't have to feel like that I was that screen on a submarine. That there was a way that I could function in society and not have to rely on my doers like life of scotch. And it took the steps, and it still takes the steps. I do not have alcoholism. I've got alcoholism. Bill Wilson tells me the main problem with us alcoholics is in between our ears. It ain't in my big toe. It's in between my ears. And on any given day, I just don't think right. Problem is, I think too damn much. I think too much. You know? And, yeah, I've been sober a few 24 hours. 2.2 decades. And there has been an enormous amount of, that the promises tells us, this materializes if we work for it. And that's effort for me to cope with the isms. The twisted thinking. The selfish desire and want to get back into the saddle of being a general manager of the universe. Having all-knowing attitudes. And, you know, God is good. God is good. See? Dr. Young told the first members of AA that for some obscure reason, we do not have the sufficient memory to remember the pain and the suffering of a week or a month ago. Well, I honestly can share with each and every one of you, I still remember that last month. I also know today, through what AA has given me, that I'm not cured of this disease. I have a reprieve, and it's contingent upon my spiritual maintenance. Which brings me back to, how do I cope with these resentments today? How do I cope with them? How do I cope with the human emotion, anger? Believe you me, I get angry. I've got a teenage son at home. Up until recently, I had a woman in my home going through menopause. And then, with the reality of what my son is involved in the world of motorsports, that in itself can give you resentments. So, I still do today what has worked for me for a few 24 hours. I keep coming back to these damn dolly eight meetings. And I say that because it rang my bell when I was told I needed to go every day that ends in a Y. Because it's important that I nourish healthy memories in my recovery. You know, I've gone through the steps. I still go through the steps. I still do 1, 2, 3 every day. I do 10, 11, and 12 every day. I got vivid recollections of the 4 through 9. Sure, I read this one. I must. Because I have to strengthen and develop coping skills such that whenever, wherever that thought of drink crosses my mind, and it will. It will. If you're afflicted with the disease of alcoholism and you love to drink liquor like I did, it's going to be natural that you have some thoughts about drinking, long journey and sobriety. And you know, the importance that I found in the ninth step was all about forgiveness. It was all about forgiveness. See? If I truly, in the third step, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as my understanding, I've made a decision. See? Well, I made a decision my whole drinking career to call God and say, get me out of this mess I'm in now. And He loved me. And I got out of those messes. But as a father of a teenager, I come to realize that the God of our understanding loves us, and He doesn't desire to see His children continually, redundantly doing stupid shit. Yeah? I got a teenager. And as a loving father that is this teenager, I see how God loved me and He was patient and He's understanding and He's forever forgiven. And what I'm getting to here with this ninth step is I was kept on that step for about 22 months, 8 and 9. Because my list was like kind of like the fourth step was, an epistle. It was drawn out real long, and I was still just couldn't get it. I just couldn't get it. See, when we start, it just ain't about when we get here and we go out and we tell people how sorry we are. I was told that when I came into AA. Son, you do not need to worry about that. They already know how sorry you are. You know, I was a liar. I was a cheat. I was a drunk. Just couldn't get honest with myself. Sure, intellectually, I could carry on a conversation with you. Absolutely. As far as an emotional being, having any feelings, no. Nobody was home. Lights were on, but nobody was home. And it finally reached a point that I was getting real, real angry about this, that I wasn't ready to go out and make amends. You know? repairing the damage. And I presented this list over in, was over at Peachford. And I gave it to my sponsor at the time. And he looked at it and he said, "You're still a blankety blank idiot." And I said, "I don't know anybody else to put on there." He said, "Well, it's like this. We're going to go back to the third step." I said, "Well, I'm going back to the third step for it. I don't want to go back to the third step. I went through the fourth and fifth step." He says, "Because your name's not on there. And if you are unwilling to forgive yourself, you are still playing God." And if you read in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, on page 62, it says in black and white, this is the how and the why of it. We must quit playing God. We must refrain from being all knowed up. Help. See, I got this forgetter. I got this forgetter because I got this damn ego and I got this pride that I knew nothing about. And that was one of the many, many turning points that we have along this journey of sobriety. Sure, there's been days I've been so dry I'm a damn fire hazard. But you know what? AA, give me a great reprieve. He said, "I ain't going to be no saint." Keep it real simple. If you don't drink liquor today, you're a winner. You're a winner. And that is, to me, today, that's success. Because that's something I never could do. I quit drinking liquor a million damn times. I just couldn't quit starting back, was the deal I had. Because I didn't know how to live life clean and sober. And on any given day, today, a few 24 hours later, I still struggle. I struggle. But I still do what works. I still go to damn big book meetings. Go to step meetings. Become a sponsor. I undress. I let go of old ideas. See? Because we're told that when we do this, we will rocket into a fourth dimension. My problem is, I've got this disease of alcoholism. I think, and my boosters are what they give you at NASA. I've got these little neurotransmitters that just try to think too much, and then I compound it with incoming artillery from a teenager who has not fallen too far from the tree. He's all knowed up. Dad is old school. I know nothing. And you know, I forget that I better stay real rigorously honest about that, because where did I ever learn how to be a dad? The only thing I've been given is Alcoholics Anonymous. So I had to start applying these principles in all of my affairs today, having had this spiritual awakening. What knowledge of I've got to forget. Okay? So I have to go just like I do in the mornings still, that I ask God to please help keep me clean and stuff sober. Help God for me to succumb from the old ideas. Thy will be done in my being a messenger and a teacher in this young child's life. Some days I fail miserably. I'll be honest with you. But I know my son loves me. And I know my son loves God today. My son's not perfect. He's had some hiccups along this journey. And there's been opportunities in this 2.2 decades that I've had to go in and do a whole lot of internal work. Internal work, you know, to learn how to let go of old ideas. To let go of that pride. To learn patience. You know, it's really easy for us here in AA. We got love and we got tolerance. But when we get out there and we start practicing these principles in all of our affairs, it's when we start seeing the success of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's been plenty of times along this journey that I've been to that next drink. You know? I've been there. I've been there on page, I believe it's 43 at the bottom, the last paragraph that we're told. And when I just told once, Bill tells us one more time, the alcoholic has no mental defense against that next drink. It must come from a higher power. So all that is being said such that we realize, sure, we got a great fellowship. But we also have the greatest avenue to pursue the greatest gift for someone like us. That's peace of mind. Being able to meet calamity with serenity. Being able to be told you're number one in traffic and clap. You know? I don't know where that comes from. I used to be the type of person, if you internationally communicated with me with the, you know, the finger, not good things happened. You know? Yes, I had a very lucrative career drinking liquor because I love to drink liquor. And I have to take these tools that AA gives me to embark upon this mandatory psychic change. Because I'm nuts. Come to believe there's power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. Soundness of mind. Being able to do the next thing in front of me correctly before I have a lot of collateral damage. So, and today, I have to honestly admit, I'm exhausted. We had a very, very rigorously demanding physical weekend with my son's racing, and whew, it's tough, you know. If any of y'all are familiar with the world of motorsports, it's a very demanding sport. And I come here tonight to let each and every one of you know that I know God loves you. I know that. And I hope you know that. And I hope and I pray that you take what Alcoholics Anonymous gives you and you apply it to your life such that you can become a fairly usefully whole and reasonably happy person today. Because we are blessed here in Alcoholics Anonymous. We're given a way out from under the hell we used to live in. And we learn how to be thankful. We learn how to relish and see the light of come on in people who are no longer lost. I know it gives me great joy. And I love all of you that you're here for your own personal recovery. Because we do this. We do this. You know. And I'm getting real, real thirsty, and I think I'm about set all I'm going to share tonight. Other than I do thank you for the opportunity. Because Alcoholics Anonymous takes people like me and gives me the most fruitful life that a man could ever have. I'm free today. I'm free from the bondage of drinking. I'm free from Satan and injury. That's a good thing. And I'm free to enjoy what AA is all about. And that's given my life, my experience, so that someone else can flower and grow into what God would have intended you to be when you fell out from in your mama's womb. Because that's what happened to me. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And in closing, if you're struggling today, get a home group. Get a sponsor. Call him. Do what is suggested. If he's in the big book, do what he suggested. Do what is suggested. And keep coming back. You can just slip up and get drunk. Keep coming back. But you're going to have some funny stories. And we love to laugh in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the great thing is we can learn to laugh at ourselves. See? That's beautiful. I'm out of here. Thank you.
Thank you, Rocket Man. The seventh tradition states that there are no dues or fees, no AA membership. But your contributions go to our group and AA is up. And may I have a volunteer to give out the chips? All right. Step right up.
Step right up.
Hand sequence for you. My name's Sam, I call it. Here at the Monday night, it's a blue chip speaker meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. We have a chip system. White chip is just coming in, just coming back. It's a sign of surrender. It basically means that I do not have a desire to take a drink today, or I don't want to take a drink today. Is there one here today who has a desire not to drink today, or whose desire not to drink is stronger than their desire to drink? So you want to celebrate 30 days in a row. Alright. How about 90 days in a row? Alright. 6 months in a row. 9 months in a row. Is anyone celebrating an anniversary? A year more. Would anyone like to reconsider on a white chip? Congratulations on the chips you hold.
Thanks, Sam. Do we have any AA-related announcements? I do have an open date for next Monday. We had an emergency, so our speaker that was scheduled for next Monday is going to be rescheduled for a future date. So if you have 12 months, if you've got a blue chip, you are invited to step right up and volunteer. Or if you know someone, they can call me. I greatly appreciate it. So if you want to get my number after the meeting, I'll be up front. And the week after this, we're going to have Willie W.W. He's real active in the 545 group. He's just going to tell a nice, remarkable story as well. So he's definitely confirmed for the 28th, 2 weeks from tonight. So if that's all we have tonight, I'd like to remind you that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Ever reminding us to place principles before personalities, And for those who will, please join us in the Lord's Prayer. Joyce makes a great meeting.
Lord, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please have room.